There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show for those interested in the big and small moments of history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about the day when England got its first look at the long, leathery berries that we now know as bananas. The day was April 10th, 1633. The banana made its British debut in the window of a London apothecary. Although the banana plant is commonly called a banana tree, it's actually an herb because it has a succulent tree stem instead of a wooden one. And while bananas are indeed fruits, you might be surprised to hear that, scientifically speaking, they're technically berries. That's because bananas develop from a flower that has one ovary, and they consist of the same three distinct layers as other berries: the outer skin, the mushy middle, and the innermost part, where the seeds are stored. The tropical fruit is believed to be one of the oldest cultivated varieties in the world, and some scientists even think it was the world's first fruit. It's thought to have originated in Southeast Asia and the South Pacific, sometime between 8,000 to 5,000 BC, and the first written record of a banana appears in Buddhist texts dating back to around 600 BC. It took quite a while for the yellow fruit to reach European shores, and by the 16th century, most people in England had never even heard of a banana, much less seen one. The only exceptions were merchant sailors and botanists who had traveled abroad, and even then, they weren't always seeing the fruit in its prime. For example, in 1597, English herbalist John Gerard published the country's first written description of the banana in his popular botanical encyclopedia, The Herbal, or General History of Plants. However, because Gerard had only seen and tasted bananas in a preserved, pickled state, he didn't form a high opinion of them. Although he conceded that the fruit was, quote, good for the heat of the breast, lungs, and bladder, he went on to say that it yieldeth but little nourishment and hurteth the stomach if too much of it be eaten. England would have to wait nearly 40 years to get a fair assessment of the fruit in its non-pickled form, but in 1633, another herbalist, Thomas Johnson, finally delivered. Born in Selby, England in 1600, Johnson later settled in London, where he practiced as an apothecary in the Snow Hill area, known today as Holborn. By 1626, Johnson had begun taking botanical expeditions throughout England and Wales. Together with a dozen or so other amateur botanists, he would hike through the countryside and along the coastline, collecting specimens as they went. He eventually combined his interest in cataloging rare and unusual plants with his practice as an apothecary. Johnson would draw and describe the specimens he encountered with special attention paid to their medicinal qualities. This hobby led him to undertake an ambitious project in the early 1630s, the editing and expansion of John Gerard's Herbal Encyclopedia. Johnson's edition would contain some 800 new species, as well as updated entries for previously discovered plants and fruits, including the banana. It's unclear when exactly Thomas Johnson first got his hands on the exotic fruit, but we know that he hung a bunch of them in his shop window in Holborn on April 10, 1633. Passers-by were said to stop and marvel at the bizarre fruit, but the same bunch was reported to still be hanging there several weeks later, so it seems no one was brave enough to actually try one. No one, that is, but Thomas Johnson. His expanded entry on the banana in the herbal includes a detailed woodcut illustration of the fruit, as well as a rather lyrical and much more positive description of the same bunch he displayed in his shop. "Each of the fruits was not ripe, being green," he wrote. "Each of them was the bigness of a large bean, some 5 inches long and 1.5 inches in breadth. The stalk is short and like one's little finger. They hang with their heads down, but if you turn them up, they look like a boat. The husk is easily removed. The pulp is white, soft, and tender, and ate somewhat like a musk melon." Johnson's single stem of bananas is believed to have been imported from the then recently colonized island of Bermuda. There was no refrigeration in those days, though, so it's not clear how the fruit managed to survive the trip and arrive in London in a green, unripened state. One theory is that they were actually plantains, the banana's starchier, less sweet cousin. Plantains can take longer to ripen than bananas because of their thicker peels, and at the time Johnson bought them, there wasn't much distinction between the two in the West. It's worth noting that in 1999, an archaeological discovery cast some doubt on Johnson's role as the first British purveyor of bananas. During the excavation of a garbage pit in London, an intact banana skin was found in a layer dating back to the year 1500. That would predate Johnson's bananas by nearly 150 years, suggesting that at least one other Brit was sourcing fresh bananas before him. However, after that initial discovery, it came to light that the rubbish pit had likely been dug into in the 17th or 18th century, thereby contaminating the layer in which the banana was found. That would mean that Johnson's claim to fame is still intact, and it would also explain why no one else in England had been singing the banana's praises before him. Despite Johnson's early effort, though, bananas remained a rarity in England until the 1800s, when regular imports began from the Canary Islands. Even then, the fruit was still viewed and priced as an exotic luxury, not something to be enjoyed every day or even every year. Part of the problem was that the banana is a tropical plant, which grows best in warm, sunny weather, something that's often in short supply in England. That meant the fruit had to be imported, greatly inflating its price and scarcity. Luckily for British banana fans, the head gardener of the Chatsworth estate, John Paxton, was already on the case, working to develop a strain of the fruit that might survive in a British greenhouse. Paxton spent several years developing and tending to his banana plant, and in 1835, it finally bore fruit, earning him a special prize from the Royal Horticultural Society. Paxton dubbed his invention the Cavendish, after the family name of the owners of the Chatsworth estate. It slowly gained popularity as a commercial cultigen, and today, nearly 200 years later, the Cavendish is the most common banana variety in the world. England's take on the tropical fruit became the top banana by accident, or by calamity, to be more precise. Prior to the 1950s, it was the Gros Michel, or Big Mike variety, that dominated the world's supermarkets. It was the first variety of banana to be cultivated on a large scale, and it had started appearing in North American and European cities in the late 1800s. During the 1940s, however, a virulent fungal pathogen struck plantations in the Americas and the Caribbean, halting production and nearly wiping out the strain. The Cavendish took the Big Mike's place as the leading banana produced for export markets, but by most accounts, it's a major downgrade from the sweeter, creamier consistency of the Gros Michel. That said, the Cavendish still has plenty of fans in the land of its birth. Bananas typically rank as one of the best-selling items in British supermarkets, with more than 5 million of them sold in the UK each year. Just over a century ago, hardly anyone in England had tasted or even seen a banana, so I guess they're making up for lost time. And since the same Panama disease that took down the Big Mike will likely do the same one day to the Cavendish, it's a good idea to enjoy them while they last. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.